The text before us is Luke chapter 15, reading verses 1 through 7. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. From our previous studies, we have noted that this incident before us and the parable that is given were spoken on our Lord's final trip to Jerusalem as he was in the area of Perea, to the east of the Jordan River, shortly before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. All of this occurred on a Sabbath day, and the record of this ministry extends from chapter 14, verse 1, through chapter 17, and verse 10. What we note is the animosity of the religious leaders. It was now coming to a heightened pitch, and there were more and more confrontations. We see it in chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they continued to study him carefully. A continuous action in which they weighed every word that he spoke and weighed every action that he did. The same thing is true in chapter 15. On that evening after he left the house, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for the purpose of hearing him. And the Pharisees and scribes continued to murmur, saying, This man warmly welcomes sinners and eateth with them. The immediate context I have already read. The continued accusation of the Pharisees and scribes that our Lord willingly, willfully associated and ate and socialized with those of the lowest classes whom they considered to be open sinners. In answer to this murmuring, our Lord told the parable before us, this parable of lost things. It was given with a threefold purpose. First, as a defense of our Lord's actions. Second, as a rebuke to these religious leaders. And third, to reveal the joy of God over one sinner who repented. We have also noted we have before us in this chapter not three parables, but one parable in three aspects, all held together grammatically, contextually, and doctrinally. The sheep did not repent. The coin did not repent. But the prodigal son did. So we have before us now that portion which refers in the opening seven verses to the shepherd and the sheep. And in our study, I want to deal with the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. We must learn from this the relationship of a person to his Lord and of a pastor to his people. We note first that the shepherd of such a flock knew each sheep by name. There existed a close personal relationship between the shepherd and each individual sheep. Listen to the words of our Lord. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is evidently what David referred to in the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Early in the morning, the shepherd would go forth from the sheepfold and call his own sheep by name and gather the flock around him. David, from that analogy, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He has called me personally to himself, and we have this intimate relationship." So we are known as God's sheep by the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a personal Savior. He cannot be impersonal in such a relationship. And we must have a personal relationship with Him. Christianity cannot be, by its very nature, an impersonal religion. Grace is personal. Salvation is personal. Faith is personal. Christian experience is personal. Can we say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Do we have that personal, intimate relationship by the grace of God with the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we rest in His righteousness and we look to Him for daily guidance and we rest in Him for our redemption? As we continue with the analogy, we see that pastors, by the very nature of the gospel ministry, must develop an intimate personal relationship with their people, to care for them, to pray for them. There is no place in the gospel ministry for a bare, impersonal professionalism that we often and sadly see. The next thing we note in this parable is that the shepherd immediately left the rest of the flock to find the lost sheep. If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness. The word wilderness here refers to the pasture where the sheep had been grazing. He leaves them there and immediately goes after that which is lost until he find it. The predominant elements are, first, the realization that one sheep was missing implies a constant oversight over the entire flock and over each individual sheep. Second, it implies that immediate action is taken. And third, the search is continued until the missing sheep is found. The Lord Jesus Christ oversees His own constantly. We are never outside the realm of His providence. The glorious truth of Romans 8:28 speaks to us in every aspect of our lives. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We are God's sheep, and He watches over us constantly. Nothing is aside from His providential care. To stay with this analogy, gospel ministers and pastors have been placed in a position in which they are to continually care for the flock of God. Mark the words of the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." The word "feed" here is literally to pastor, to care for in all of those aspects and analogies that should exist between the shepherd and his sheep. Third, we note that the shepherd was motivated by compassion and by personal concern. Go after that which is lost until he find it. This describes a constant and a very diligent search. We should understand the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, the truth and reality of our Lord's earthly life, His suffering and death, has become institutionalized in our thinking. We simply look at these as historical facts without the human element, the suffering, the compassion. Repeatedly we read in the gospel records that our Lord, seeing the multitudes, had compassion on them because they were astray as sheep which had no shepherd. He referred to Himself as the Good Shepherd, and He declared that the Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep, and this He did in the most literal fashion on the accursed tree. To carry the analogy to the ministry, there is a great need for compassion on the part of the pastor. The one who would be a true pastor must be compassionate and concerned for everyone under his ministerial oversight. The shepherd knew immediately that one sheep was missing, and so it is in the pastoral and gospel ministry. We note in the fourth place that the shepherd searched until he found the lost sheep. He did not quit. He was not a hireling. He was not someone who was merely professional. Our Lord always finds His lost sheep. Listen to the words of our Lord Himself. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is a faithful saying, says the Apostle by the Holy Spirit, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We read yet again, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." And in that context, our Lord declares, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." The redemptive purpose is infallible. Know that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, worn, torn, exhausted, burdened with sin, that you will come to Him in faith and repentance, you will be infallibly received as God fulfills His purpose in saving you from yourself, from the reigning power of sin, from the guilt and penalty of His holy law, and from sin in its ultimate consequences. God's purpose in redemption is infallible. Carrying this into the gospel ministry, the true pastor never gives up. We persevere in our prayers. We persevere in our pastoral labors. We preach the gospel. We shepherd God's flock. We reach out to those who wander astray. The true pastor never gives up. We note in the fifth place now, the search for the lost sheep was time-consuming and exhausting. We conjure for you a picture of this shepherd. Immediately realizing that one sheep is missing, he launches out into the most unusual places that surround the place where his flock has been feeding. Anxiously searching, climbing the heights, searching the thickets, seeking the sheep in every dark crevice where it might have fallen. This is the picture of the shepherd, and he does not give up until the sheep is found. So our Lord lived and suffered and died to redeem sinners. He gave Himself. He loved not His life unto death. We see in this also the work of the gospel ministry. It is demanding. It is never passive. It is never clean. It is never quiet. The pastoral ministry is dangerous. It is dirty. And it is demanding. We must be all things to all men. And even in the context of the pastoral ministry, we find ourselves saying things and doing things and going places we before would never have imagined, because the pastoral ministry and the love of souls and the good of the sheep demand it from us. In the sixth place, the shepherd did not punish or upbraid the sheep when it was found. We see here the heart of the shepherd. Once, when teaching a Sunday school class, I described this to some children. Do you know what the shepherd did when he found the sheep? Oh, they said, what did he do? I said, he tied it to a bush and he took a stick and he beat it. And then he threw rocks at it and then he cursed it and kicked it. They said, no, he didn't. I said, how do you know? Because he loved the sheep. That's a good answer. He loved the sheep. He didn't tie it to a bush and beat it. He did not curse it for its wandering. He knew its nature. He acted in a kind and gentle way, knowing the nature and the fear of this exhausted animal who was completely at his mercy. When the sinner has come to the end of himself, how fearful he becomes, how exhausted he is, bowed down under the burden of sin and guilt, often despairing of life itself under a true and Holy Spirit conviction of sin. Yet the Lord reaches down in sovereign mercy and lifts him up to himself and quietly and gently speaks peace to the soul that believes. How loving and kind and gentle must pastors be in dealing with those whose consciences are torn and whose hearts are bleeding. We should learn much from this parable, the heart of a true shepherd. Again, we note that the shepherd carried the sheep home on his own shoulders. The sheep, picture it now, was exhausted. It was vulnerable. It was hungry and footsore. We are told by those that have shepherded sheep in the locality when there are predators about, that the sheep, being exhausted, will sometimes lie down and the predators will simply come up and kill the sheep and feed upon it because the sheep is too weary, too much filled with fear, too immobilized in exhaustion even to fight or to bleat. It just lies there until the predators take its life and consume it. Here is this sheep, exhausted, vulnerable, hungry, footsore. The shepherd gently picks it up and carries it home on his shoulders. This is a graphic picture of the grace of God, both saving us and sustaining us throughout our Christian experience until we are safely to our heavenly home. What did that shepherd smell like when he returned home? Very evident. He smelled like a sheep, and sheep stink. Only in idealistic pictures and in Sunday school flannel graph lessons do sheep not smell. Sheep have a smell about them. Sheep stink. A true pastor smells like his sheep. A true shepherd smells like his sheep because he's with them. A true pastor smells like his sheep. He smells like his people. He's with them intimately, closely in their lives. This we should learn from the heart of the shepherd. We note finally that the shepherd not only rejoiced over finding the lost sheep, he called upon his friends and neighbors when he got home to rejoice with him. Note this in verse 6, "And when he cometh home," now, this is not a lamb, it is a sheep. Sheep is a rather large animal to be carried on one's shoulders. The shepherd comes home, he is tired. He is exhausted. He lays down the sheep. He's exhausted. He sits down. He catches his breath, and then he runs next door, and the next door, and the next door. He calls his friends and neighbors, who themselves are also shepherds. This parable was told in Perea, the sheep-growing and grazing region. These men were shepherds, they would know. He calls his friends and his neighbors. If you have your Greek New Testament open on your lap, you'll see that the words friends and neighbors are masculine in gender. He called His men friends. They were shepherds. He called His men neighbors. They were shepherds. They would sympathize. They would understand. And He says to them, "Rejoice with Me, for I have found My sheep which was lost." Joy must be shared. This parable was told in Perea, as we have noted. He called together His fellow shepherds to rejoice over the sheep which had been found. They would all rejoice together because they too had the hearts of shepherds. We ask then, what causes joy in heaven? Not the victory of armies, not the crowning of great kings, not the discovery of some ancient treasure, not the discovery of some new medicine that would mitigate the sufferings of mankind. Not even a record Sunday school attendance causes joy in heaven. But the repentance of one sinner does. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. God rejoices in the fulfillment of His redemptive purpose of grace in the lives of His own. The conversion of sinners ought to afford us the very greatest joy imaginable. The life of the church, as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, is fulfilled in no greater way than in the conversion of lost men and women. Are you like this lost sheep? Are you exhausted? Are you burdened? Are you vulnerable? Are you weighed down under the burden of sin and guilt? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bleat out, as it were, a word, call of anguish, "Lord God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He will hear you. He will come. "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." In the evangelical language of the apostle, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Discover in the Lord Jesus Christ the heart of a true shepherd, indeed the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep.